Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business. Today I speak to Michael Vogtmann, co-founder of Singapore Aquaculture Technologies. We're going to talk about what his company does, the development of Singapore's first smart floating fish farm, how it will support the growing importance of aquaculture, our food, national security, and actually we're going to start with welcoming you to the show and asking you, what is the difference between a normal floating fish farm and a smart floating fish farm?
Hi, Clarissa. Thanks for having me on the show. Well, you might think of fish farming as, or traditional fish farming, as fish inside of a net, and the net happens to be in the ocean. And that's pretty much the way most of the fish farming is carried out in this part of the world. We let the ocean currents take away the waste products, and we put fish feed into the nets. And you hope that the fish don't get sick, and you hope that they grow. That would be traditional or normal-style fish farming. Mm-hmm. And you can start adding a few elements of automation in there. You can automatically put food into the net. You might automatically clean the net. But that's about the only things you can do.
Right.
What we like to do on smart fish farming is we control all the parameters because we don't like playing roulette. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the water has enough oxygen, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the water outside is not clear or it's not clean, so we like to clean the water. We want full control.
Right.
And I guess with smart fish farming, it's about taking all those control elements and putting them into a smart or digitized environment.
Okay, so that smart fish farming, I get that and I understand the difference. So is it easier to have a smart fish farm over the ocean, over sea, or in a reservoir?
Well,
or does it make a difference?
It doesn't really, because both are on the water. Mm-hmm. You might ask yourself the question, why are we doing it on the water and not on land?
Right.
And that comes straight to the point of land availability, and preserving what little land we have left
sure.
for future generations.
Okay. Now, this is exciting to me because as a diver, as a consumer of seafood, I'd like to know that there'll always be fish in the ocean and there'll always be fish on my plate. That's not so unreasonable, is it?
That's a fair assumption.
It's a fair assumption. So how do we make sure that the fish that ends up on our plate is healthy, is still good for us, and is still plentiful as we need it?
Well, let's start with the whole concept of fish and where fish come from. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, the amount of fish that were caught was surpassed by the amount of fish that were farmed.
Right.
Now, most people tend to think of fish coming from the ocean, but that's now no longer the case. And we shouldn't be surprised about that. When was the last time you had a wild chicken or a wild cow? We're used to those farm species coming from the farm, and why shouldn't fish? Now, unfortunately, with the overfishing of the oceans, we tend to have damaged the natural spawning grounds of juvenile fish. And without those spawning grounds and with overfishing, the fish populations can't recover.
Right.
So aquaculture plays a really key part in letting the ocean recover whilst also addressing our ever-burgeoning need for more fish.
That is a growing need, isn't it? I don't think that amount that people require on a global basis has ever plateaued.
No, I'm afraid it's going up and up. Well, that's good for us, but bad for the oceans if you take that as a wild catch. No, we're expecting by 2050 that the total amount of food consumed by the world will increase by 60%.
Right.
Now, if you think about that statistic...
Is that sustainable?
No.
Okay.
Not if we're using land-based crops, not if we're using fresh water.
Okay.
So we strongly believe that the answer is held by the ocean, but not farming or catching wild fish from the ocean, but farming on the ocean.
Right.
On the ocean lets me be close to where my markets are. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, we're talking urban farming. And on the ocean also lets me have control of the parameters.
Okay. Let's talk about aquaculture. It sounds like something that should grow, has to grow, in order for our food security to remain secure. Mm. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, we certainly think so. And I'll tell you what I like about aquaculture personally. We use a statistic called food conversion ratio, and that basically looks at how much food do I need to feed a fish in order for that fish to put on 1 kilogram of weight.
Right.
So with fish, it's typically between 1.2 and 1.8, just to give you a rough feeling. So sure. I've got to give the fish 1.2 kilograms of feed in order for to get 1 kilo of fish. Mm-hmm. To put that in perspective, with chickens, you're looking about 3 to 4. With pigs, you're looking at about 6. And with cattle, it's about 14.
Right.
So we have to always consider where the feed comes from that feeds these species that we're trying to eat. Mm-hmm. So from a pure mathematical conversion point of view, fish really shows us an elegant way out because of this great food conversion ratio.
Right. Actually, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about that, but then again, I love fish, so I would have found a reason regardless. Now, We started to talk about the difference between aquaculture and smart farming versus the old traditional way of fish farming. Now, is there another upside? Is the fish of better quality? Are they healthier?
Yeah, you know, good
question.
Sell
it to us.
Okay. How about this? We like to say we grow stress-free fish. Mm-hmm. A stress-free fish is a happy fish.
Okay.
And just like people, stress-free happy people don't get sick. Mm-hmm. So one of the first upsides of controlling all the parameters in a smart way is reducing the amount of stress. So you might ask yourself, where does stress come from? Stress could be because the water's dirty, there's too much waste product from the fish digestive process, or there's not enough oxygen. So these things tend to cause stress, and then they get sick. What we want to do is create a stress-free environment where we don't need to resort to things like antibiotics, or we minimize the use of other chemicals, for instance, to treat disease, because they're kept stress-free all the time. So we make sure the oxygen is at the right level all the time before feeding and after feeding.
Right.
And that, of course, has a huge impact on the taste of the fish, if you ask me.
Okay. What about everyone thinks that fish caught in the wild is better than fish farmed, metal levels, etc. Do you have a opinion on that?
Looks like I'm stepping into a minefield here. So look at it this way. Fish that are farmed are eating a known food source. Mm-hmm. You as the farmer control what food the fish receives.
Sure.
Fish in the wild eat whatever floats by. Mm-hmm. So provided you're buying fish feed from a certified and reputable source, you know that one thing is certain. Farmed fish are generally a lot younger than wild-caught fish.
Okay.
And heavy metals, the bane of society and everyone's menu, tend to bioaccumulate over time, and they accumulate in the fat. So I would say to you, the younger the fish, the less heavy metals in that fish.
Does that make it healthier eating, do you think?
I think so.
Okay. Just wanted to get it out there. We're speaking to Michael Vogtmann, co-founder of Singapore Aquaculture Technologies. Now, are there fishes or seafood as a whole that lend themselves better to aquaculture than others, certain types of fish, certain types of shellfish? Do some do better than others in that those environments, aquaculture environments?
Sure, there are some fish that you can't farm at all or are very difficult to farm, like tuna. I mean, they just don't like being in a pen. They won't reproduce either. The fish species that we're farming in Singapore, which is sea bass and red snapper and soon also grouper, actually like to crowd together.
Right.
So coming back to that topic of stress-free farming, it's the fish that like to stick together that lend themselves for a more intensive style of fish farming, where you don't need so much space and where you can also improve your efficiencies. I mean, the one thing we all need to respect is fish farming needs to make money for it to be a viable concern.
Sure.
And the species that I mentioned, A, are very tasty fish, and B,
they're very popular.
They're very
well.
Popular as well, and they should be farmed. Mm-hmm. That's the opinion of many fish farmers. It's just that they should be farmed in a way that is firstly sustainable and that also is manageable. So back to the smart farming.
Right.
Smart farming lets us manage all the risk. Mm-hmm. And it lets us have our finger on the pulse. We don't want to guess when a fish is about to get sick. We'd like to know before it gets sick.
Right.
So I'll give you one example. We use a lot of cameras and digitized processes to look at the swimming behavior. And we can already tell when a fish starts swimming a little bit differently that mm-hmm. this fish will get sick in the upcoming days.
Right.
And that lets me take a very early action instead of waiting for a sickness to appear.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually fish doctors.
Actually, what you say would be quite relevant and quite familiar to anyone who's ever had a hobby aquarium. You look at your fish, you every day you see how they behave, and you can track and trace the smallest change in behavior and figure out something's wrong with them in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
So that's what you're
Absolutely.
Talking about.
Absolutely. And now think of your aquarium and scale it up by a factor of 10,000.
Right.
We have not one tank, but we have 100 tanks. And I don't have time, or the operator doesn't have time, to start looking in each and every tank and gazing into the depths. You'd like a system to pick that up.
Right.
And you'd like that to happen early and reproducibly. So smart farming essentially takes what the fish farmer might already have in their, let's say, calibrated eyeballs and automate that process.
Okay.
So we're using knowledge that's already there, but we're using it in a way that automates that knowledge bank or that data bank.
Okay. So this all sounds very good. Smart farming makes perfect sense, especially for aquaculture, where if you're looking from the surface in traditional fish farms, you might miss certain things. You might miss how polluted the water might be on any given day if it was traditional fish farms, if you're standing on the surface.
You know, and the other thing is there's not much you can do about that if you're a traditional farm.
Right.
You're in a net, whereas we work with tanks.
Okay.
So we treat the water before it goes into the tank. We know exactly what the water chemistry values are in the mm-hmm. tank. And we can do something about that if one of those parameters falls or rises or is out of the normal.
Okay. So some of the answers or some of the challenges of the traditional fish farmers addressed, and you've made it better through smart farming. So what are your challenges today?
Well, we might be getting a little bit too smart. So the challenges are, of course, we need to upgrade the entire skill set of the people who work on these smart farms.
Right.
It's now we are looking at people who have a penchant for engineering, who can work with screens, who can work with computers, who can take data and assimilate data, and who can also or feel comfortable working with equipment. We have a lot of sensors, we have a lot of monitors. So that's a challenge on the one side, but it's also an upside. We are raising the level, and with that we hope to also attract more educated or highly more skilled workforce. And I think that's what people are looking for as well. They're looking for a challenge, and they're looking for some form of reward at the end of the day.
Sure.
That makes it worthwhile.
Sure. Okay, so I suppose the logical next question for me is, how scalable is smart aquaculture?
Well, we think they're very scalable mm-hmm. by nature of how we've built them. So we have a standard production unit, for instance, the one we just launched. It will produce 300 tons of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a question of multiplying that technology and multiplying that structure, and they can be all linked together.
Right.
On the space of, on a very contained space, I should say, we can have multiple units linked together. And we don't have any scalability problems because, as I said before, we are treating the water. We are putting oxygen into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So all the resources that the fish needs are controlled by us anyway.
Right.
So for a country like Singapore, it makes a lot of sense because we don't have a lot of water space.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go out into areas that are so far not used, i.e. the water surface, instead of going to land.
Right. Okay, so we've got sea bass.
Yes.
What was the other one that you say?
Red snapper.
Red snapper, soon to be
grouper.
Grouper. Those fish scare me, especially when they get really large. What about everyone's favorite festive foods like prawns and clams and crabs and lobsters? Will those be farmable in the future? Are they already farmable?
They are already farmable. They do get farmed. Prawns, of course, are generally farmed on land and in ponds.
Right.
So there's an issue there already. Those points we mentioned earlier, water availability, land availability. Crabs and lobsters, like all good crustaceans, like to live at the bottom of the ocean. They can be put into a net and generally eat, well, I'm not going to say rubbish, but they eat the, let's say, waste products.
Well, they are the scrubbers of the ocean.
The scrubbers of the ocean. And, you know, that's an important point because we also have to be careful of what we put back into the ocean when we're farming.
Yeah.
Fish produce waste, and that waste passes through a traditional farm, a net-based farm, and it goes into the water systems. And if there are too many farms next to each other, that waste can generally cause or can cause eutrophication. In other words, there's so many nutrients in the water that other things can happen, like an algal bloom. So what we do with our fish farming techniques, our smart farming, where we have tanks, we reuse the water. And by reusing the water, we can basically filter out the waste products, and then we can do something with that waste. For instance, grow clams or grow mussels, or we can feed it to algae. That's a really important part looking forward if we think about sustainability. We have to be careful what we put back into the oceans.
All right. This has been a great conversation. We've been speaking to Michael Vogtmann, co-founder of Singapore Aquaculture Technologies, talking about the development of Singapore's first smart floating fish farm and how it will support our nation's food security. You are on Money FM 89.3. Michael, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.